Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
11 o'clock hour, it's Cody and Gold on a Victory Tuesday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Reminder, in 2 hours, Nate Taylor from The Athletic going to join us as we'll be inching closer and closer to the NFL trade deadline. We'll see if the Chiefs have another move up their sleeve. We'll also keep you guys up to date if there's any other moves in the NFL that impact the Kansas City Chiefs. Just three trades, I shouldn't say just three, but three trades already happening in the NFL today. Also some, I'll call it a little weird news in the NFL. The former Raiders head coach, Norv Turner, also was with the Chargers for many years, is coming out of retirement, according to Tom Pelissero. He's going to join the Raiders offensive staff. Yesterday, the Raiders fired their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy. And so now you have Norv Turner coming out of retirement.
Well, his son's the favorite to maybe be the play caller.
He's going to help out his son. Scott Turner is going to most likely end up handling the play calling. And so now Norv is going to help his son out. Antonio Pierce has had Marvin Lewis involved, has had, anyway, I applauded him.
Is
in the
Brian Billick available? I mean, is there any other alive coach from the 90s he would like to see around? Yeah. Is Bill Cowher coming in for a consult?
It's kind of bizarre, man.
It's not a good strategy, man. Just hiring the coaches of the guys who were coaching when you were a player 15 years ago is not a good strategy.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin already was there for Tom Coughlin was already there. Look, in the offseason, I applauded that, hey, you're going to have guys like Marvin Lewis and Tom Coughlin come to your training camp and help you. You admitted, if you're Antonio Pierce, publicly, that, like, hey, I want to have, you know, I don't have the most experience as a head coach. I want to learn from these guys. I think that was actually smart. That makes a ton of sense. But now we have seen the results. We have also just seen Antonio Pierce at times in-game decision-making is terrible. He also just doesn't have a quarterback. And even when he was trying to juggle Aiden O'Connell and Minshew, he was changing quarterbacks in-game multiple times throughout the season. Now it's just desperation.
Is what it is Mike now. Holmgren around?
Yeah, Mike, there you go.
That's the same as Norv Turner. Like, I mean, you know. It's the coaches of our youth. Yeah. I just like
Tony Dungy.
That's right.
Oh my God. Not Dungy. Not after. Didn't he say some stupid Chief stuff?
Just bringing everybody.
He said a lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? He's like, he's one step away from bringing in like famous coaches from other sports. Like, he's going to bring Phil Jackson in for motivation. Yeah, okay. Dude, he's one half step away from that.
Funny.
He's bringing in Norv Turner.
He's going to bring in Dusty Baker.
I hadn't even thought of that name. Why didn't he at least call Pete Carroll? At least he was doing the job. Like,
I think Pete Carroll
10
still
seconds
works.
Ago.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Pete Carroll still is with Seattle, and
he's teaching at USC. I know that.
Yeah, I thought I could be wrong. I thought Pete Carroll was still an executive assistant or whatever.
Someone says Marv Levy's still alive.
He is. Legend.
Still kicking.
Legend. We've got his phone number.
Jeff
99
Fisher.
Years old.
Oh, that's right.
Think about all the former coaches he could bring in here to help run
this
show.
All I want to do is get to 9-8. Just help me get to 500, please.
The guy, he probably get 500.
Help me.
Latest update just on the trade front. This from Jonathan Jones over at CBS Sports says the Commanders have emerged as a real contender for Saints corner Marshawn Lattimore. He went on to say the Chiefs have had interest in the corner as well. Still 4 hours to go before the deadline.
Commanders
make a ton of sense. That defense is their biggest weakness. They're having obviously a great season. They got a rookie quarterback, so the money's not as problematic for them.
Yeah, means
and they're 7-2. So yeah, I mean Marshawn Lattimore would make a ton of sense there in DC.
When's the last time they won the division?
Oh, man.
RG3?
90 something?
You think the first year of RG3?
Did they win the division that year?
I mean, he had such a great year.
I know, but I was think that
that would have been like a 10-6, 11-5 year, right?
Well, it could have been the NFC East. It's not like people have been, you know,
maybe
Washington.
If it wasn't RG3, then I have no
they
idea.
They didn't get it like 1 year under Alex Smith or anything. Oh, they won in 2020. It's 7-9.
At 7-9, they won.
7-9.
Oh my gosh!
They won it in 2020 at 7-9.
Was that Heineke or Alex Smith?
Alex Smith. The last time they won it before that was 2015 at 9-7.
Jeez.
I like that they've never had like a good record when
they haven't had
it.
Double digit wins.
They have the same amount of wins now as they did when they won the division in 2020.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2006. Ooh. They were in 2005 playoffs, but in January of 06, they beat the Bucks. And 1991,
crazy.
It was the last time they were in a conference title game.
That is crazy.
Speaking of good teams instead of bad franchises, Chiefs have been a very good franchise, obviously, since the second Andy Reid stepped into town. I think I felt the same way a lot of people. I saw it on the text line earlier. I saw it on Twitter last night. I don't want to overblow it because of how good they've been. Stunned that the defense did not get that stop last night. Surprised, disappointed even, that they did not get that stop in the final drive. That they allowed 3rd and 12s to turn into first downs. That they let 3rd and 11s turn into 10-yard gains. That they let them kind of bully them. In the final drive of the game for Washington, the defense got bullied. Or not Washington, sorry, we're just talking about them.
I got you.
For the Bucs.
Yeah.
The defense got bullied by the Bucs offense, by the Bucs offensive line, by the running backs and Cade Otton. It wasn't all the, and Sterling Shepard of all people. They let themselves get beat up last night. And I was shocked because it's the first time I've seen anyone draw blood on this defense, which was concerning because obviously they've had a few injuries as well. It was the most disappointing effort from the defense this entire season.
It was surprising. Yeah, it was surprising. The tackling and some of the mistakes were uncharacteristic of what this defense has been. You know, I guess that's where you give some credit to Baker Mayfield and what they're able to do. Remember, they were down multiple top receivers. Mm-hmm. On one hand, that might concern you, and maybe that gets back to the trade conversation. Do they need another corner? Because I still think Joshua Williams, it's been rough to watch at times for him when he's been asked to be in that role. Maybe they get Nazi Johnson, though, back from concussion protocol next week, or this week, I guess, would be coming up against the Denver Broncos. We shall see.
Hopefully.
But yeah, that was surprising. I mean, this is a team that against Atlanta on a fourth down stop got it. Nick Bolton stuffs the run. We all know what happened a week ago in Vegas where the Raiders had the ball at the 5 and they went backwards 5 yards or whatever it was, and they got a 4th and goal stop. So that's why it was stunning. It's like a victim of their own success in a way where we're like that was what made it so jarring is we hadn't seen that happen yet with this defense. I don't suddenly think that they're a problem or anything like that, but it was definitely jarring to see for the first time this year an offense a couple times move the ball on them as successfully as they did. And then the tackling, and I don't know if that blame it on the weather conditions. I have no idea. Right. That was a contributing factor, but there was way too many missed tackles last night. And that's why normally they've been a really sound tackling football team. And that wasn't the case last night.
No. And I think that's what it really kind of boils down to for me is this was a team that just straight up looked uncomfortable on defense for the first time all year. Now, I'll say in the first half, that's not the case. They let up their traditional touchdown drive in the first half of the game, and then it seemed like they just kind of locked things down. Not much going for Bucky Irving, not much going for Rashad White. He got his touchdown right in Kansas City, and good for him. But, like, you know, for the most part, looked pretty normal. In the second half, Baker was picking him apart. But this is the time. So, like, this is where I'm not quite as strong as you. They have problems covering the tight end. It is a true and very real issue. Mm-hmm. If you had parlayed 4 weeks in a row, the over on tight end receiving yards against Kansas City, you'd probably be a millionaire by now parlaying it together depending on what you bet because it hits every single week. The concern is this is the first time where I thought it almost caught. You know, like the other times, Gold, the games didn't feel far enough apart that I was overly concerned. This is the time I thought I was going to lose them the game. They couldn't guard Cade Otton in the final drive of the game. I thought they were going to lose because of it. So, like, there is a point where I'm like, okay, maybe it hasn't cost you a game yet that the tight ends are taking advantage of you, but I'm a little worried about when it will officially. For a while, I was just kind of ignoring that problem and putting it in the back burner like, that's future problems. I'll just deal with that later. I no longer think it's a future problem. It is very much now a now problem, isn't it?
the tight ends, Kate Otten last night was the first time I believe a tight end, I could be wrong, other than Isaiah Likely had got a touchdown against them.
Yeah, and just so the yardage. Yeah.
The yardage is obviously a problem. And I have been consistent on it that when they're not in the red zone, they're not having success. When they're in the red zone, they're not having success with tight ends. Last night was the outlier of that. It was the first time that we really saw Kate Otten, in this case, have success in the red zone. They've typically actually in the red zone buckled down. Speaks to their entire defense. So no, like I don't think that tight ends are going to be something that costs them football games.
You don't think it's ever going to lose them a game? Not even once? I don't know how you're not worried about it a little bit.
I don't think that whenever the Chiefs lose a game, if you think they're going to lose a game this year, whenever that is that they lose a football game, no, I do not believe the story that we lead the show with the next day will be blank tight end got them. I think it'll be a variety of other things. That's all I'm saying. It's like clearly it's a problem. We've all acknowledged that the yardage is out of they're averaging 88 yards tight ends are against the Chiefs. I mean, it's a problem. We knew that going in. It's why we all were saying, hey, bet the Kate Otten over last night.
And for
good reason. Yeah. Like for good reason,
him and Kareem, like the first half,
him and Kareem Hunt to go over their totals on the ground. They both ended up easily cashing. It was dicey in the first half for Hunt. So it was just, we knew the weakness of the Bucs, their rush defense. We said it yesterday. Yards per carry ended up being a weakness. Why they lost the game. We knew the Chiefs linebacking core, et cetera, are weak against tight ends. Kate Otten had a really good game. Like nothing was surprising with either of those two things. But no, I don't, I'm not hitting the panic button because Kate Otten got yards. We know that's going to be a liability at times. And as I've said, I will take that liability when it means shutting down number one receivers. Now the Bucs didn't have a number one receiver last night, but this
they
season
did shut down the receivers until that final drive.
They did.
I think the text line probably has it right. And there is a part of me that did this. It's not that they haven't faced other great quarterbacks. They faced Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert. They've actually faced some really good quarterbacks this year. Baker continues to impress me. Like, not to compliment the opponent. Guys, he's just kind of a gamer. That's probably what I would describe him as. He's just like a gamer. Will he ever be a top five quarterback in this league, top 10 quarterback in this league? No, probably not.
No.
But he's better than the normal 10th through 15th because he'll just show up and do stuff. Like, he'll make stuff happen sometimes. A lot of the quarterbacks 10 through 15, just like, they're like good because like they don't screw up too much. They're not great, but they're not bad. They don't screw up too much. They just kind of go about they're the Alex Smiths, right? They just go about their business and things happen. Baker Mayfield makes some things happen, you know? He does have big-time moments in big-time games, and it felt like last night he was trying to do that, obviously, for Tampa Bay on that final drive of the game. He goes all the way against the Chiefs' defense, which has been, I mean, that's the most points I'm guessing they've given up all year, right? 24? Yeah. Oh, no, they gave up 25 to Cincinnati.
Yeah, 26-25 game back in week two. And then his coach didn't believe in him to go for two, so he lost the game. So
that still doesn't make any sense. Should we have made a bigger deal about the Bucs standing on midfield? Idiots. Why do teams do this?
It usually doesn't turn out well. Now, the reason why it's not as big, it's not as big of a story.
It's a weird place to have a team meeting, dude.
It's not as big of a story because it went to overtime and it was a close game. If they would have got their ass kicked, it would be a bigger story. Yeah. But the Raiders did this once and it was a disaster. A team meeting. That's the whole point. Teams are doing that. You do that on purpose. You don't accidentally have everybody huddle up at midfield. That's what I'm saying. So it's the same thing. And I don't know whether Chiefs, the Chiefs use that at all. But we know the Raiders did that a couple years ago, and they ended up getting their ass kicked. I don't think it's as much of a story because it was a close game. But yes, I did see that.
I can't remember if it was Peyton or Eli last night, but I wanted to see because Peyton always gives like some funny reactions for game-winning drives for quarterbacks and bad decision making. I was like, I want to see this Baker drive and Peyton.
Eli did the handstand celebration.
Yes, that was fantastic. I think it was Eli that said this actually, because they had Maria Taylor on, and I think it was Eli that goes, "Do you think if Tampa Bay wins, Baker's going to go plant a Bucs flag at midfield like the Oklahoma game?"
Yeah,
and Maria Taylor was like, "No, I think he's past that."
I will say this upcoming game this weekend, which we don't have to get into, but this is two of the top five defense in the league based on points per game. This game might be 13-10.
Could be very low scoring.
Do we already have an over-under for yet too early?
Yeah, the Chiefs before last night were 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos. Just same line as this Bucs game. Now it's down to 8.5. The total is 41.5.
Yeah, they think it's low scoring. 41 and a half. I
mean, that's 4 points.
4 or 5 points less than this last one, mm-hmm. which hit the over, by the way.
It did. It did. But 8.5, it was 9.5 for the Raiders game, 9.5 for the Bucs game, depending on when you got the number. And then Chiefs 8.5 point favorite Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead.
Broncos also coming off a game where their defense got wrecked against
the Ravens.
Baltimore. That was
them.
Holy crap. Yeah. It was bad.
Small note, by the way. This is social media is a hellscape 99% of the time.
I hear today is a great day to be on it, too.
Probably even worse today.
Yeah.
It's a hellscape most of the time. I do love that social media lets a kid from Incarnate Word. I would have never seen that celebration if the internet doesn't exist. And he started an entire trend of people doing headstand celebrations throughout the whole damn league. He's got Eli Manning doing it on ESPN last night. He's got Amon Ross St. Brown.
Amon Ross was the best, though, because like just the photo, the still shot of him and then his teammates next to him was awesome. If you just Google Amon Ross headstand or whatever, the still shot of it from AP photo or whatever was really, really cool. So yeah, that's how some of that stuff happens, man. It's amazing how quickly it takes off. And yeah, that is because of social media.
It's a fun little thing that started. Yeah.
Quick side note of football.
Yeah. I saw this during the game. This happened during the game last night and it was news involving baseball. That's another thing. Point.
Announce it during Monday Night Football, you idiots.
Yeah, this goes back to my issue and your issue as well that we have with the award situation in Major League Baseball. We won't spend much time on this, but during the game, all of a sudden, I saw that Major League Baseball announced their Executive of the Year. I'm like, oh,
J.J. Piccolo.
Nope. It was the executive over in Milwaukee, Matt Arnold, and I'm not going to poo-poo what he did.
Screw that guy. Well, I will.
Okay.
Did a terrible job.
We can just do that too and not have a conversation. Go ahead.
No, please go on.
No, go ahead.
You're not going to bury him.
I was saying Matt Arnold won it, and it's not like they didn't have a good season. But it to me is absolutely absurd that J.J. Piccolo didn't win this award. 56 wins the year before, and he goes out and acquires Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo. Lugo's an all-star. He trades for Lucas Ursek midseason. And this team wins a playoff series, and yet he's not the executive of the year. The reason why they, being the reporters involved, gave it to Arnold, I guess, was they traded away Corbin Burns. They lost their manager, and they still won the division. That's the thought there. But, man, the Royals had one of the biggest turnarounds in baseball history.
It's a top 10 turnaround in the sport. I think it's close to top 5 win percentage-wise. The Brewers went from a 92-win team who finished first in their division to a 93-win team who finished first in their division. So obviously, he's one of the better general managers. He has taken a small market team, and he has taken them to back-to-back division titles. Overall, even though I said, screw that guy, and I don't know anything about him, he obviously is doing a fine job in Milwaukee. Why not just take the layup when it's there? It's a bunny. Guy went from 56 wins to the playoffs with the same lineup. He had to revamp an entire starting rotation. And he also gets, if we're benefiting last year, right? If that's what you're giving Arnold part of for, right? He's done this 2 years in a row. Like, okay, well then 2 years ago, he also had to change his manager. He had to trade for Cole Reagans. Like if this is a multi-year award, well then I want to talk about some of JJ's accomplishments last year as well. If it's just a this year accomplishment, the Royals absolutely went through more challenges than the Brewers
They were also in the
number one most difficult division in the Major League Baseball. Should that not factor in?
No, he should have been executive of the year. I mean, it was pretty surprising not to see that be the case. The Brewers won. I mean, guess what the deciding factor is?
Yeah, right.
Brewers won the division and they didn't. If we're oversimplifying,
that's
the only reason why I could see them possibly have given it to him. But no, I thought this was like a no-brainer win for J.J. Piccolo.
And it's not like it's an award that comes from the media either. I mean, this is team officials, right, that make these decisions. So I don't get how they dropped the ball there, I guess.
I mean, I guess there were 3 teams above 500. Nobody was like bad in the,
if the Royals won the division next year, maybe, I don't know, maybe he'll get it next year by the same logic here.
Isn't it not? That's more of a manager thing, though, than it is like an executive thing.
No, but like an executive, it factors in as well. Like, if the Brewers won 75 games, I don't think the executive of the year would have gone to their executive. So of course wins factor
into
this.
Wins matter, but not winning the division. If you flip 30 wins compared to one, Cody, correct?
Yeah.
If you flip 30 wins in one season, I don't see how you can make an argument.
No, I'm with you that J.J. Piccolo should have won. I'm just saying if we're other than just screaming at the top of our lungs and saying it's not fair, if we're talking out why it might've happened, I'm saying it must've been the Must have been the division part of it.
It feels a lot like a lifetime achievement award, which baseball does more than just anyone else. He's been with the Brewers for 9 years. He's been their general manager for four. He had never won the award. No one for the Brewers had ever won the award. And so you just give it to him because that's what they were able to accomplish. But, I mean, it was the Guardians a couple of years ago. It was Mike Elias from Baltimore last year, a team that also had a massive turnaround. I just thought it was going to be J.J. Piccolo. He did it such an excellent job. I don't feel bad. Like, I feel bad for J.J., and I think he got robbed. But you and I both know how good of a job J.J. Piccolo did, so what do I care?
Yeah.
Also, this is going to go down to, like, Brett Veach. If they have anything in the NFL, he should win it every year.
Right.
They're not going to give it to him every year, so J.J. will have it.
And it was voted on before the postseason. Since the Royals won a series, the Brewers didn't. If it wasn't, then maybe he wins it, but that's why they vote before the postseason. Otherwise, you would have all these awards just based off of postseason success only. So I get why they don't do that.
Yeah,
it'd be the Dodgers guy. Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
I think this is a perfect trash of the day considering the show's history on this subject.
Uh-oh. Is it about bank robberies?
No, that would also would have applied, but this has to do with a 63-year-old man that's been arrested for allegedly stealing $400,000 worth of cheese. The business, Neil's Yard Dairy, was allegedly conned by a fraudulent buyer who posed as a wholesale distributor for a major retailer. $400,000 worth of cheese was stolen. Now, I'm not sure what types of cheeses. I know you were asking me about it.
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. And I say Gruyere, blue, Swiss.
Not sure, Cody, which one.
That's a sophisticated cheese heist.
Has to be.
I got to be honest. We've talked
20
about this.
20 tons so of cheddar worth nearly $400,000. It's a famous cheese shop in London. And they delivered more than 950 wheels of pitchfork cheddar before they discovered it was all ruse.
So here's, I guess, the question I have. First, that's a lot of cheese. 950 wheels of cheese.
Yeah.
Much like anything else you steal. What is your plan for offloading this on the secondary market at presumably a lower cost than the original? There ain't no way it's easy to get rid of $400,000 worth of cheese. You can't eat that in 50 lifetimes as one person.
Here we go.
How are you going to get rid of this?
Cheese enthusiasts are advised to be wary of suspiciously large quantity of premium cheddar on the black market.
Where the hell do you even find the cheddar black market?
And this line, you'll love this line from the article. If the deal seems too gouda to be true, it probably is.
Boy.
That was from the article. Not
me. I kind of hate them right now.
Not me, I promise. Yeah.
They come in cloth-bound wheels. Take 12 to 18 months to age properly.
No, it's high-end cheese, man.
Award-winning cheese.
It's good stuff.
You guys got chips last week. Do you think for the fan club this week we can get some...
Somebody to send us some cheese?
Some high-quality cheddar?
Let's get some.
Not a whole wheel. I don't want a whole wheel of cheese.
No. We did. We had those barbecue chips.
How were they?
Bolton's chips. They were actually really good. We enjoyed them.
What's the crunch level? Like a kettle chip?
Oh, it was a good ridge chip. Drew took a bag home.
Chip.
I gave Drew a bag. Yeah, good, like rigid chip or whatever. Yeah. Those were pretty damn good.
Okay.
Normally.
So secondary market. Okay. Well,
I see what you're doing there.
Okay. Well played. Well played, text line. Well played. I see you. Oh, man. I don't know where you find the black market for. Like, I'll just be honest. There's no situation. Let's say I'm going to go to the store. We buy cheese and bacon, those things. I buy it in bricks, right, and just shred it at home. So sometimes I'll buy, like, a two-pound brick.
Of cheese?
Two-pound brick.
What kind, though?
Cheddar. Mozzarella.
Which one?
Mostly cheddar.
Oh.
Because you're using a lot of different stuff, so I'll just shred it. I'll buy a good... But if somebody was standing outside the thing, be like, I'm going to see you get some cheese. I bet you I'm buying it off of some guy in a trench coat. With cheese in his jacket.
I bet this individual or people that stole the $400,000 worth of cheese, I bet you they did a better job offloading and selling it back on the Facebook marketplace than you did with our box of stuff from a year ago.
That might be true.
I bet you they do a better job.
Facebook Market, you buy wheels of cheese on Facebook Marketplace?
You can find anything.
Steal TVs or something you can sell. Or don't steal. That's an option, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That is the trash of the day here on Cody and Gold. Up next, let's talk about Travis Kelce a little bit more, right? And what he is now pacing for. And there's one big reason why I think we've seen this shift. We'll tell you what.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That is next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about Travis Kelce, shall we? Travis Kelce. The last couple weeks, last night for starters, 14 catches, 100 yards on 16 targets. And yes, I understand the game went to overtime. 16 targets for Travis Kelce. And you go through and you start taking a look at his last five games and what he's done. I'll let you start here for a second with where he's pacing. And then I think there's a pretty obvious reason why this is happening.
Okay.
Where is he pacing now?
Travis Kelce, 4 weeks ago, was pacing to have 387 yards on the season.
Okay.
Now, 4 weeks later, Travis Kelce is pacing for 925 yards, only 75 short of 1,000. He would only need to average 63 yards per game the rest of the season in order to get 1,000. If he played one less game, let's just say they were undefeated and he didn't need to play the final game of the season, which if they were undefeated, I think he would need 71 yards per game. Travis Kelce's right back on track, man. He's a 1,000-yard receiver again. Problem solved.
Travis Kelce and D-Hop last night combined for 22 catches, 186 yards, and two touchdowns. And what's crucial about each one of those catches for both, but obviously Kelce's part of this, 11 of those 22 were for first downs. Six were on third downs. And that's a big reason why Mahomes was also just so stellar on third down last night. So Kelce is pacing like the old Kelce again. Just like that. And it, look, just as quickly as it changed, obviously it can change in the opposite direction. But here's why I don't think it will, other than I don't know if I want him getting 16 targets a game. And you're like, why not, Gold? What are you talking about? I worry about his health long term for the season. I want him fresh for the playoffs. So I don't know if I want him getting 16 targets a game the rest of the season, because that concerns me in January. But it's pretty obvious, Cody, why the production is up. We said when early in the season, Rashee Rice was eaten and he was putting up big numbers and Kelce's numbers were suppressed. Yep. And everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. We're like, you know what? Rashee Rice is running a lot of the underneath stuff and he's just younger and quicker. He gets open quicker. He gets to those spots quicker. Well, Rashee Rice, we all know, unfortunately, is out for the season. The last five games, and that includes the first game post Rashee Rice, right? The first game when Rice got hurt was 7 catches, 89 yards on 9 targets. Since then, 9 catches, 70 yards on 10, 4 catches, 17 yards on 5.
Quiet one.
Yeah. 10 for 90, a touchdown and 12 targets against the Raiders, and then what we just mentioned, 1,416. And that's not a coincidence. Like, one, Rashee Rice injury. Two, those last two games, I know it was limited snaps last week, but DeAndre Hopkins. You have a number one receiver that garners attention.
That doesn't do the same job as you. And maybe that does matter. And I see a lot of people being like, the working fan theory is he's risking it all, his body, because he doesn't care. He knows he's retiring at the end of the year. So he's just going to throw caution to the wind. I think this is just who Travis Kelce is. For anybody who wrote Travis Kelce off too early, bad news. You were wrong. He is fine. I don't think, and this is the part that I disagree with on people, because even the people who are defending his recent performance are like, yeah, but it just looks harder. No, it doesn't.
Oh, last night didn't look hard.
He just had it. Yeah. He got hit hard a couple of times, but it did not look hard. It didn't look like Travis Kelce was having to work for those catches. That's what he was having to do early in the year. You're like, damn, even that 5 yard kind of sucked. Like, it felt like you were having to, like, night and day difference from what I'm used to seeing. I don't know why he started slow. Part of it is probably the Rashee Rice thing. I think part of it is because they switched offensive tackle 2 weeks into the season and they needed to use him in the blocking game and they didn't have a real sense of it. And I think part of it is now that they've reinvented themselves with the absence of all the wide receivers, guess who they decided to circle their offense around again when they had to reinvent? Travis Kelce. I think what you're right is, like, even more so than just he runs the same routes is. Clearly now, in retrospect, they spent the offseason making the transition. The transition was, our offense is not Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce like it's been for 10 straight years. Our offense is now Patrick Mahomes and Rashee Rice. We've made the transition to the younger player who can handle the workload, and we love it, and it was fine because it was working great. And now they're having to transition back to, nah, it's around Travis Kelce. And then now you're seeing the results of that. I still think he would have finished with like 900 yards or whatever, even with Rashee Rice around. He'd have found his. Yeah. They'd have kept locking in on Rashee Rice. But the fact that they're locking in on him now and he's still going for 14 catches, 100 yards on 16 targets a week after he went 10 for 90 and a touchdown. Woo! Woo! I mean, goodness, he's back to full form.
He is. There's part of me at this Sunday against Denver. Now it's a short week, and after that workload, that I'll be fascinated to see
what's his over under.
What his over under is, but also like what's the target share? What's his snaps like?
Sure.
Like, it would not surprise me on Sunday if we see Noah Gray more involved. Just because, like, that's a, I don't care how old you are, but that's a last night overtime game, physical game, that many targets, ton of snaps. Like, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. Like, that still is reality. So when he's healthy and fresh, we've seen what the production can be. Nobody should doubt that anymore. I just want to keep him fresh. that's my only thing later on in the season. That's my only hesitation with anything that's going on the last 2 weeks in terms of volume.
Well, especially because, you know, there's not a bye week coming.
Not another bye. That's why the number one seed is so important. Get the number one seed so you know for sure you have the 1 week bye in the wild card weekend to where he's good to go. We all know he looked like a Hall of Fame tight end in the playoffs last year after not a great regular season by his standard.
In the dream scenario, that he gets 2 weeks off. He gets to take week 18 and the first week that they're off because they've locked it up before the final week of the season, which we don't know. Right now, there are two other teams in the AFC with only two losses. So the Chiefs only hold a two-game lead currently on that spot, and the Bills have had to play an extra game and still only have the two losses, so they're actually only a game and a half back at Kansas City. And the Steelers have played the same number of games, but the Steelers aren't getting the one seed, man.
Yeah, and look, you know, he was in it. He was obviously feeling good about his performance. Also, it helped that Jason Kelce, of course, was on ESPN last night, part of the broadcast. They even got Travis to come out of the locker room, walk across the field, and join them on set after the game. That only happens because Jason Kelce was set. But this was Travis Kelce talking about having DeAndre Hopkins on the team and what that's doing for everybody.
I mean, I said it already. He's a swag champ, and that just brings up, that just juices everybody, and it gives everybody confidence. It gives everybody the ability to just play free and trust the guys next to him. And, you know, I was feeling like the old head for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but D-Hop being 2013 draft class as well, we've been able to relate to each other in that regard. And on top of that, it gives Pat somebody he can trust, you know? That's right, baby. Hop is in the building.
The touchdown on the goal line, is that something that Patrick checked to at the line? It looked like it. My guy Stan Presti was at it. If you talk to him, ask him. It looked like something at the line of scrimmage. It looked like a check.
No, it was all a part of the play. I think Pat might have been calling out where the offensive line was going to in terms of the protection and stuff. But on top of that, I mean, it looked like they were just on the same page, right?
Uh-huh.
And D-Hop has been right on time every single time. And right now, Pat is playing out of his mind right now. And Coach Reed's dialing those things up.
So that was Travis with SVP last night on ESPN. And yes, Patrick Mahomes was sensational last night. You look at his numbers, for those that haven't watched as much and they've only been into the box score, they can't even complain about that last night. You know, we've been discussing how he's made game-winning plays. Maybe the stats haven't been there the last couple weeks. Last night, the stats were definitely there for one Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and D-Hop, the biggest reason for that, obviously, and what they were able to do. The one thing I'll say while we're on the ESPN topic for a second, did you see they did do the look-alike contest you brought up yesterday?
They did.
Very disappointed in.
Wow, disappointed.
Well, the individual they chose, was one of the ones I said should not win.
Yeah.
He didn't look like Andy Reid at all. What happened to our guy? I think his name's Matt. I don't know. Fake Andy Reid. Yeah. He's got a Facebook page or whatever. You know which one I'm talking about if you're listening. There's one or two that truly look like Andy, not just has a play sheet and has a stash. The guy that won last night was too skinny and stuff. It's not this. There's a better fake Andy Reid than the one that won the ESPN contest. Did you see what the winner got?
No.
Jason Kelce said he got it from the man himself. He had a Ziploc bag and asked, and he claims, Andy Reid to cut some whiskers off his stash. He handed a bag of whiskers to the winner.
So I guess now you could clone Andy Reid if you're looking for a head coach after that.
That's right. That's
right. Start that process now.
Do you think he actually cut whiskers from the stash and gave him to Jason?
Man,
it's Jason.
Jason Kelce probably convinced a coach.
That's what I'm saying. I think it probably is
his whiskers.
Now, what do you do with that if you're that individual that has a bag full of Andy Reid's whiskers?
I think you try to frame it up with something signed by Andy.
So like a signed
football.
You try
to get a signed photo or football. Then, you know, like they do like the confetti.
That's
got the whiskers in it.
So that guy that's also fake Andy, even though it's not the better fake Andy.
So it's a Topps for
you have
card.
A photo of him with real Andy, and then at the bottom of there's just some whiskers? Is that what
I've
you're
seen
asking
some training
for?
Cards where they put, like, a piece of George Washington's hair in it.
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
Could you do that, also, but with Andy?
That's different. Also, that normally is more like they just have, like, a little, like, it's one letter that he wrote in cursive or whatever back in the day. Like, that's those kind of things. I know what you're talking about. I don't know. That's dark. Someone says, wait till he's no longer with us and sell high. Wow.
Jeez.
I mean, it's going to be hard to prove it.
Yeah. If you look at Jason's beard, because Jason's beard has like four different colors in it right now, it probably was just Jason.
Just how much gray you got in your beard if it grew out?
There's a few spots that would have like a few. There's like three or four hairs that would come in gray.
Not a ton yet?
Not a ton yet. I found one on on the top of my head the other day. I was like, oh boy.
I didn't want to tell you. When we were in Vegas, I saw one
gray hair.
I was like, man, that was just...
One, just one.
It wasn't a bunch, but it was...
One.
But there was one really
on
obvious.
The side. Like, it's on the side.
Man, was that...
It's
that
usually,
was looking gray.
Usually
it was just
on the
one
side.
Hair.
I know. It's been this way for like 6 months. So far, it's just been one. There's one gray hair.
One at a
hair.
Time? Or just one you've been leaving in there?
No, it keeps coming back. Like, obviously, it's one. It is one gray hair on the side. That's it. We're getting old, man. I turned 34 in January. You
can
know?
Do the salt and pepper look.
Oh, it's one hair. I'm not
that,
doing anything
you know?
Right now.
I'm just saying you should lean into that.
Oh, if it gets,
are you a dye your hair type?
I don't know. We'll have to see what it looks like when the time comes.
I feel like salt and pepper is a beard thing.
I'm not close to to salt and pepper. It's one gray hair.
Someone says Andy can be framed for a crime now.
If you
sprinkling his mustache.
If you are still doing the show together for a while, like each way, you know, all of a sudden I'm going to start having the endorsement.
I could go gray. Who knows?
Yours is, I think, just thinning. Not gray.
It stayed about the same level of thin. Like, it's never here. If I go bald, it'll be back here. But it hasn't really changed. I've always had kind of fine hair.
Someone says for me to pluck the one. It's one. I'm not going to pluck the one hair. I feel like that'd be bad too. Maybe it'll lead to more. I don't know what they say.
Just
about
one.
That. Someone says, by the way, Matt Black is the name of the almost Andy Reid. He's the best one. And I don't know where were you last night in the contest? You would have won easily. This other guy that won, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but does not look like Andy
Reid.
Bad
and they
representation.
Still picked the other guy, that's bad.
Bad representation.
It's tough. Last night's game was the embodiment of the entire season.
Oh,
is that
man,
feel right?
Roller coaster.
Halfway through the season, they made mistakes, shot themselves in a foot. Let's just talk about the start of the second half and the end of the first half. End of the first half. Get a chance to get some points. Bungle it. Don't get what they want out of it. They open up they then kick the ball, obviously, because they had deferred the Bucs. They take it to the 50-yard line, score a touchdown. They get the ball back at the 40 on the next drive. Score on you again in a field goal situation. Balls getting knocked around. Kelce fumbling at the end of that half. All just messy, 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 messy. The second the Chiefs had to score, it's middle to late in the third quarter. You are down a touchdown. Ass is on the line a little bit to get something. You only have 10 points midway through the third quarter. What do? 10 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. Next drive. 10 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. It's not those exact numbers, but they're pretty much.
Yeah,
they were nearly identical drives. The second the Chiefs need anything, I have never seen a team that I have covered with the Chiefs like this, and different from other years, that can just turn it on the way that they do. They're just like, oh, it's important now? Oh, okay. Got it. No, the game matters now. Is that what you guys are telling me?
Yeah, we hear in sports a lot about finding that second gear or whatever, and they are the direct example of that time and time again during this dynasty run that they've been on. I mean, this was not the only game where we've seen this by any means. We've seen it this season. We've seen it over the last couple of years. When they have to have it, sometimes it's the defense has to have it. Sometimes Butker has to have it. Sometimes Patrick Mahomes has to have it. They find a way to get it. And even if there's other issues, mistakes earlier in the game, it truly is an example of like not letting prior mistakes compound themselves. Right, there were some mental errors last night. Even in other games in the season, when Mahomes will make a mistake maybe in the first quarter, he's one of those players, it does not impact him.
No,
in the fourth. Sometimes we'll say, oh, maybe he pressed right on the very next play. But what happened in the first quarter has no bearings for him. It does for other quarterbacks. No bearing for him on what he's going to be able to do in the fourth quarter. And obviously overtime last night, too, in this case.
They had three touchdown drives in the last final four drives. Is that right? The only one they didn't score on was they almost got in field goal range at the end of regulation and 27 seconds left.
The overtime drive was surgical. It really was. I mean, play calling, everything perfect. The game was over when they won the coin toss, but also after the first two plays of the overtime drive, you're like, oh, yep, they're going to march right down. And Todd Bowles knew it after he didn't go for two. I still don't get that. Baker Mayfield knew it when he lost the coin toss.
Yeah, he did reach his head back.
Somebody from the text line asked an interesting question. What do you think of the roles reversed? Does Andy go for two in that moment, or does he kick the field goal to go to overtime?
I think he goes for two. Listen to his comment after the game. He said, he's like, well, I don't know what he did, but I'm glad he didn't. Like, I mean, he mentioned it on there. Here's Andy on them not going for two.
But I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, he was asked to say
surprised.
Are you surprised?
Yeah. No, but I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. There is no more devastating thing to hear from your opponent than, hey, you know, like, it doesn't matter. Do you know why they used that time out there? No, but I'm glad they did. Or do you know why they didn't go for two? No, but I'm glad that they didn't. Like, that is a devastating thing to hear. And he tipped his cap. He absolutely would have gone for two. It's the right play. It's the obvious play. It's everything else.
Yeah, all the scenarios. You're on the road. You're the underdog. You're going up against an undefeated team. Your offense is wearing down the opposing team's defense. You know that Patrick Mahomes is still playing football on the other side. It made zero sense. I'm sorry. There is no good argument for it, especially when you couple it with them calling a timeout with 30 seconds to go. They could have made the Chiefs burn a timeout, or they would have ran the clock down or should have to like 15 seconds or something like that, and then ran their plays to two plays, three plays to get in the end zone and got the touchdown as time was expiring or close to it. Then there's an even stronger argument to do what they were doing. I mean, it's like I don't understand the extra point at all.
No, I don't, and I never will. But it's just like that game is just who the Chiefs are at this point. The reason why they're 8-0 is not because they have been the most well-executed or even just like so much more talented than any team on the field. They can't be stopped. There's no one to win better than you, way better than you. When they need things to go right their way, they get those stops. Like even in the – I know they didn't get the final drive stop. They went and let down when it was 17-10 and they got the touchdown, they needed to stop. Got it there to get it back in Kansas City's hands. Got some three and outs, got some short game, held them to a field goal, which I thought was huge to keep it to 17-10 when they were moving. And look, the Bucs shot themselves in the foot a little bit in that drive. There were a few penalties that kind of drove them back into dangerous territory where they had to pretty much run offensive plays only to get a field goal. But it's the same thing. They made mistakes that eventually cost them points, and Kansas City did early. They always will early. They should have had like 10, 13 points in the first three drives, and they had like three.
Yeah, Worthy just had no clue about the boundary there. That's a bad rookie mistake. Even Andy at halftime going in, he was talking to Lisa Salters. Usually Andy won't say much in those. He actually was, you know, he was asked about the mistakes, and he's like, you know, we've got to stay. Like he kind of called out Worthy as much as you'll ever hear him call out a player, kind of.
Got to be better there.
I mean, that was bad. that was bad. That was an easy touchdown, and I'm sorry. That was not on Mahomes leading him too far. No, Worthy just has to. He should be able to run through that and just get a touchdown.
Also, when you're wide open, you're not supposed to run to the. There's a million coaching things, and he's a rookie, so we'll get to that.
I think regarding the Todd Bowles thing too. Not that you know players don't like Todd Bowles, but in that moment. If you read the room, I think players want you to go for it in those situations where you can, hey, we have the momentum, we're the underdog, let's just go in there and just rip the hearts out. You know, let's
not, it's a little the opposite Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell goes with, like, 100% the energy in the room.
Yeah, I disagree with this one text. If someone said, you only go for two if the season is over. 4-4, the Bucks were still alive. No, I just firmly disagree with that.
He also blamed the rain, dude. He blamed the rain.
Yeah, his reason was that
slick.
Wet conditions was part of his thinking to go to overtime, as if there was just a dryer to come over the football field in overtime and it was going to be perfect. He just marched down the field on the defense in those wet conditions. I totally disagree of the notion of like, well, their season wasn't on the line, so they didn't have to go for it. I don't think that matters in this scenario.
Before the game even started and we got to overtime in an incredible moment, did you see the nice moment before the Chiefs started their game against the Bucks last night? Something that's been years in the making, I like to think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Years in the works. Could have another thing happen on Wednesday, maybe even. Before the game last night, in case you missed it somehow, Creed Humphrey met the band Creed. A perfect marriage of sorts, at least on this show's perspective. Scott Stapp standing there in his poncho next to Creed. They're all smiling. Creed meeting Creed. It was a perfect moment.
Yeah, Creed.
It's exactly what I wanted.
Creed Humphrey, that is, had his arms wide open next to Scott Stapp going in there on the sideline. It was perfect, man. And yes, they're in concert on Tuesday or on Wednesday night. I'm sorry, tomorrow night. And yeah, I'm guessing we'll see Creed Humphrey at that concert. But that was pretty cool.
Do you think they'll play part of my song?
Not your song.
Will they play part of my song,
Cody,
on
they have
Wednesday?
Scott Stapp there. They don't need your singing.
But if Creed Humphrey's there, they could play, you know, just
maybe today,
Cody and come on, just like this. Just Mitch Holthus right at the beginning.
Maybe they would do that or show a clip from our video shoot. It's been, how many years has it been now? Three, I think. 3 years since we did that.
Sounds right. 3 years.
I think the Creed is Good campaign is 3 years old.
I mean, look
at he's got a new contract. They've won a couple rings, and now he's meeting Creed's meeting Creed.
By the way, someone asked me this. Like, do you think Creed Humphrey is a Creed fan? And I thought, him as a person? Absolutely. He's from the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. That's prime Creed the band territory, isn't it? Rock from the 2000s that everyone says they hate, but that people secretly like. Doesn't Speck like Creed or Nickelback or one of the two?
It's Creed and Three Doors Down.
Nickelback.
Creed,
was, right?
Yeah, Nickelback's would like Creed and Three Doors Down is.
Chiefs Kingdom, what is up?
Such a good
moment. Scott Stapp from Creed here.
That's my favorite moment.
So we hope.
Oh, I was like, "Where's the song?" Let's see.
Make Creed the winner that he deserves.
Come on, this is from the actual video. Again, just play 10 seconds, Scott Stapp.
So tomorrow night, you've heard the commercials. You've heard the commercials on the station. It's like, you know, they do the one night only Creed.
Oh, yeah.
Three Doors Down, T-Mobile Center.
You going?
No, I don't think so.
I don't have tickets. Someone got a plus one?
Say
I'll make an effort.
I will be that guy right now. Tickets, you know, tickets would need to be required. Also, I got my betting show tomorrow night before the 6 to 7. I could still make the concert.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
You might miss some of Three Doors Down, but, you know.
I like Three Doors Down.
They'll probably play Kryptonite last, so, you know. You'll probably, you know, the big hit song you'll probably get to hear. I think it's just so funny that, and look, there's an obvious tie-in. Maybe they would have made that connection somewhere along the way anyway. His name's Creed.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Creed. When we did that song, Creed the band wasn't even a band anymore.
Now they're touring.
They're broken up.
Now they're touring. They did a Creed cruise that sold out.
Yeah.
So they're back.
Now they're touring?
Scott Stapp was performing at a... remember, didn't it get rained out, but wasn't Scott Stapp doing halftime for like the Arizona Bowl game with Barstool Sports or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if the game got canceled. I think the game got canceled.
He was going to.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were going to continue your comment, Cody, by saying, so we're the reason why Creed is back together. If you were going to claim that the song is...
I'll say the timing, at the very least, is quite coincidental. Scott Stapp was available for the low, low price of $300 to record that video for us, you know? The very end of that one is so good. I don't have it pulled up.
Yeah, you see this top text. It's a good callback. A longtime listener, clearly, when someone said, Three Doors Down, is that who sings Simple Man? LOL. That goes back to, I don't know, was that a year or so ago we had Simple Man? No, obviously. That was the... we were talking about Shinedown.
Shinedown.
Yeah. That's fine. That's a good callback. Well done, Texter. Well done. All right. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then I want to talk more about Hopkins. Plus, there's a new update from Jordan Schultz on what the Saints are looking for in a Marshawn Lattimore trade.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.